5, if you would please. Matthew chapter 5, as we think about the salt tank tonight. Matthew chapter 5. This chapter, Jesus Christ is presenting this message and this truth. If you have a Bible that marks his words literally said, would be read. Though, he said all the Bible, amen. I always pay special attention to how he would present himself and what he would say, as we should pay special attention to all the Word of God. But he brings out a truth about the light and the salt. We're going to talk mainly about salt tonight, but he declares in there that we are salt and we are the light of this world. And as lights, we're not to hide our light. Each aspect has its own little significance. And we could spend a lot of time about light. Things don't live without light. And light, just the smallest light runs off the darkness. No darkness can stand against light. And the littlest light can keep you from stubbing your toe and, falling down over something and causing a lot of grief in your life. The eye is capable of picking up a little light, a candle light. I think it's 10 ball fields or 10 football fields away. You can see the flicker of a little candlelight with your eye. It's able to pick up that much light. And so God has helped us in this world when he's brought light. He, of course, is the light of the world. But then we talk about salt. And salt as well, we're to be both of those in this world. Salt has its own little factors to think about and to ponder, as we'll talk about tonight. Matthew chapter 5, since you're all settled down, stand with me, please. And Matthew 5, and we're going to read this verses 13 and 14 as our text tonight as we think about the salt tank. Verse 13 says this, ye, and so when you see ye, what are you to do? Finger. And so it's talking about us, God's people. It says, now it's not talking about the devil's crowd, it's talking about God's crowd. It says, ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its savor. The savor would be the taste, the flavor. Wherewith shall it be salted? Is it henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let's pray. Father in heaven tonight, as every night, as every day, and as every moment, we need you. We ask for your help. Probably, God, this is a message that could literally change the world. Tonight, we would say that it would start with us and affect our own hearts here, that we could begin to see the salvaging factor of the salt in our world that's rotting before us to this very day. So our God, we ask for your help. We pray that you mark our words tonight and help us to have words that would have the ability to be able to sink deep into our hearts and our life. Father, we'd not be able to push these words to the side, but it would find roots in our soul. Please speak to us tonight as only you can and only you may. Father, we ask for your help and your kindness in this services gathering as we meet on this fine winter night that you've given us. Thank you so much for folks that have come out. Now we pray, our Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts in this gathering here in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. When you think about salt, salt comes from many places in the world. It's kind of from clear on the other side of the world, Australia, right down to, our backyard. We've got a big salt place in our backyard under Lake Erie. How's that? And I got a piece of salt about this big in the office from Lake Erie, where you can, literally they have, Lake Erie has tunnels going under it. They're driving trucks under Lake Erie. Kind of make you think, don't get a leak, get out of there, But there's big tunnels under there, and we had some folks at one time that worked in Lake Erie, they dynamite under there a little bit. Of course, I'm sure they have to use great wisdom, but I had a chunk of salt from Lake Erie. And, just reminds me that it comes from everywhere. Well, we think of that coming from everywhere. I think about God's people. God's people just come from everywhere. I mean, America is kind of like that, isn't it? We're kind of a mutt nation, from everywhere, all over. And many nations are starting to reflect that. If you go to Canada, even up there where Brother Forney is, way high up there in the Arctic, in the cold country, you find people from all over the world up there. You would think that most of them would be the Inuit Indians, but not so. There's a lot of different nationalities up there. How many's ever been into Canada? Just crossed the border into Canada. I just already crossed the border. I was amazed at Niagara Falls. You know, just that little area there. How many Chinese there was in that one area that we were at? And we were there during discount months. You know, and there still I couldn't believe the number of foreigners that were up there. Not foreign to Canada. They were native now. They came in, they moved in there. But salt comes from all over. God's people are from all over the world. And God knew that when he used the analogy of salt. It has its best at when it's being refined. And you know, when I think about being refined, I think about trials and difficulties. I think about Joseph's life. 21 years of going through trials to become the man of God that we read about today in the Word of God, where all those chapters are written about Joseph. And there's a few things where Joseph is getting back at his brothers a little bit, but all in all, Joseph's character is just about off the chart for what he has gone through. And God reared him up, 21 years of just refining Joseph to make him the vessel or the purified, refined salt that God wanted him to be to preserve his people in Egypt, the lowest place in the world. Boom, he's going to preserve his people there. And so God had a reason for that. I can't help but think God saved us. God's brought us together. God has a reason for us to be the salt where we're at. And, you know, not just anywhere, but where we're at. God wants us to be the salt right in our own neighborhoods, in our own backyards, in our own nation. God would have us to be salt here. Salt receives little credit for its many, many things that it can do. Salt has 14,000 things that they documented as part of in the world. 14,000 things that salt's involved in. I mean, it gets little credit for the much work that it does. A little bit of it goes a long ways. You ever testify to that? It's amazing what a little salt will do. We sometimes refer to it as a secret ingredient. What's it need? It needs a secret ingredient. Next to that is sugar, by the way. But secret ingredient. And salt makes a difference in what it enters. By the way, it doesn't conform. We'll talk about that. It makes a difference to what it enters in. God's people are to make a difference in this world. Amen? And so salt has a lot of factors. I can't help but think about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If I had the time tonight, and I'm not going to take the time, but I'll read you the verse. It's a great verse. Many of you probably have it memorized. If not, you've heard it preached on many a times. But it says, if. A conditional, was that preposition? If. Conditional word, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. So I ask myself, I have to humble myself, I have to pray, I have to seek my face, being God's face, and turn from their wicked ways. I have to turn, I have to repent. Then, that's the blessing, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I'd like to see America healed tonight. How about you? And so if America is going to be healed, it's going to be healed through the salt that's in this world. God's people is the only salt this world gets. And so we're here. We're it. Whether we want to be it or not, this is all they're ever going to get. And so may God help us to do what we're supposed to do. When I think of salt, I think of a couple characteristics of salt that I'd like to talk about that's in this chapter. First of all, the character of salt itself. And, you know, when I think about the character, I think about verse 13. I think about the first word, ye, me, you, us. That's a character. Look around. We're characters, aren't we? And you can't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Look around. And we have to make God smile and laugh by the characteristics of our own life at times and some of the crazy things that we do. But we're the character. We're the part of this in this world that God wants to use. The church here is the preserving factor in this world. So the characters of salt, we're here to preserve the world from the rot that we see in the world today. And so we can do something about the rot in this world. By the way, when you got saved, look at the rot saved there. Amen. We're talking this morning, and we're talking about being men. And when do you become a man? And in our Sunday school class. When is that somebody enters into manhood? And what the world tells you is a man, and what God tells you is completely different. You know, sometimes if we leave it up to the world will say, you know, when you can take, and here, this guy came to me and said, you know, we had in our family, we had when you could shoot the 12-gauge shotgun by yourself, you become a man. That was your, that was your entrance into manhood. Some, though, would say, you know, when you can drink a shot of whiskey and still stand up, or shots, and that's more of our world, isn't it? When you can do a lot of things, it seemed to be, you know what, if we leave the definition to them, our world is going to continue to rot. And look where she's at today. And so there's something about us taking charge of the preserving factor that God has given us here on this earth. And so I see the word ye. And Isaiah 55:11 says, in the middle of this verse, it says that God's word would not return back void. So I can't help but think that there's something about getting the Word of God out. I got saved because somebody brought me the Word of God. You got saved because somebody somehow brought you the Word of God. In some form, in some fashion, we had to hear the Word of God go out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our world today, and I'm especially concerned about America, though God's concerned about the entire world. Amen. She's in a state of rot. She's in a state of moral decay. You can't hardly go anywhere and not smell the stench of death in our world today. It's just everywhere. And so when I think about it, you know, we used to think about the deaths, the killing of the babies, the abortions, and the rot of that in our society today. But you know, sin has so progressed. We can hardly even talk. Abortion almost seems like a little thing. Killing a baby seems like a little thing. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That's a whole lot of moral rot in our society. Marriage, the sacred institution of marriage today. Well, you know, 50% of people won't stay married, but even worse than that, many people just don't get married. The moral rot. And listen, we're not just talking about lost people. We're talking about saved people. And so the moral rot of our fiber in our country, and especially when you talk about a home. When I think about same-sex marriage, I think about something very disgusting in our land that's so being more and more and more and more and more acceptable. And just think about how acceptable it's been even in the last 3 years, 2 years, the last year, the progress that it's made in your face. In all kinds of films, in all kinds of books, in all kinds of media. I don't know if I've ever watched the news lately, ever, and not seen something connected with same sex. Is that pretty close? I mean, I don't watch that much news. When I watch it, I kind of document. I say, you know, hardly ever do I see something not going on that's related to same sex, whether an article on the side or something that some Hollywood person is doing that they're, you know, maximizing in on their life. Places where legalized prostitution in America, call girls on call. You know, it's just hard to believe that that's going on. Just lately, Colorado is, as of January, you can now have recreation marijuana. We've talked about that a little bit in our services. Well, it's now history. It's now happened. A little dinky store, I was reading about their first day, made over $10,000. Their first day. Lucrative. You know what's going to happen? That's going to, tax money is going to go in that. So people are going to say they're making money on it, and businesses are going to justify it, and more people are going to smoke pot. You know that one of the problems, one of the highest problems in the Colorado schools, listen, is drug problem. You know, I think somebody in high places already smoking that stuff for a long time. And so they've justified this thing. And here's what they say. This is what you hear. Yeah, but you can't buy it unless you're 21. Well, listen, they interviewed students in school, and here's what the students in school said. 9 out of 10 people have tried drugs, and that drugs are a problem in school. Listen, obviously, it's trickled down into the schools, just like alcohol and everything else. And now school children, they know, they fight it, they battle it in schools. I can't even think about people that now make it legal, and you know, you, and of course they're making money. They're charging a lot of money for this stuff. By the way, they know without a doubt that smoking marijuana, especially in the, I almost hate to call it adolescents now, Brother Jay, after you gave that in Sunday school, but you know, in that period of time of growing, you know what? That it hinders your ultimate IQ is going to be lower. And we shared that when you get 37,000 brain cells a day are being burned out at 35. You start early with that, you ought to be a real dumb bunny by the time about 50, 60. You can see them out there. You know, you can pick them out. I'm not picking on bikes. I like cycles. I like bikes, but you pick them out. The long-haired, gray, hippie-type looking guy with tattoos all over him, he come out of that era. And, you know, those things just stick with you. It lowers your IQ. By the way, it's habit-forming. Anybody ever tell you that? It's habit-forming. Proven. It's not even questionable. It's habit forming. And so you have some, not only that, but you don't hear much about it. I've said it, but it kills chromosomes, which you only get 26. You don't get any more. You got those when you were born, but it kills those. And so you're hurting and hindering your children. You're sowing that seed in a young life. And I'm sure that does many, many huge problems. I mean, could we say, how many would say, honestly, I'm not talking to this, honestly, drugs in school is a problem. Can I see your hand? Is there anybody that would say that drugs in school is not a problem? I'd like to see your hand. So we all agree, drugs in school is a problem. So if I was just using a logic, then I would say, let's try to work on that. Now, the logic of the world, let's try to work on it. What are we going to do? Let's legalize it. Now, would you not think logically that that would increase the problem? How many would say? It's like the way I'm going to help this alcoholic is I'm going to give him free liquor. That ought to help him. You know, so the logic is just unbelievable to me today. Three teens just got bored. So they decided to kill somebody. So randomly, not knowing anybody, a guy's jogging down the road, they pull out a pistol and they shoot him and kill him. Of course, they're all arrested and they're prosecuted. They ask him why. Simple reasons. We don't know. We're just bored that day. Tell you something's wrong, isn't it? Our America is at rot. You know, character, when we think about character of salt, character is not what people think you are. Character is who you are on the inside. Who you really are. Salt has power, is a powerful mineral. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about what is salt doesn't, it doesn't conform to what it enters into. It changes it. It affects it. And I got to thinking about this, you know, if I was going to write out a prayer, I'd probably have written out a prayer like this. God, help me to affect the world and not infect it. Infecting meaning some kind of sin, some kind of unrighteousness. Affecting it for the cause of Christ. And that God would help us to affect this world. And salt affects what it enters into. It's that powerful of a mineral. And I think about this verse, Romans 12:2. You could almost help me with this. And be not conformed. You know what that word conform means? It has the idea of fashioned. Or, you know, I kind of, when I think about the world, they have a way of just pounding you, fashioning you the way they want it. We can see that over and over in society today, that they can promote things and make people want things just from promoting them to where everybody has to be that way. That's a way of, you know, their way of fashioning. But God says this, says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye, what's the word? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, because that mind needs renewed, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, you know what happens when we do that? We are a powerful piece of salt that God can use. And we're affecting the world for something better. And we're trying to stop the rot that's going on in the world. You know, there were ships that they couldn't go very far because they couldn't figure out how to preserve things back when, before they had the technology we have today. But somebody figured out that salt is a preserving factor. Matter of fact, even the ships clear back like the Mayflower. One of the reasons they could go out as far as they could have gone out that day, or did go out, is because they come up with the salt factor. It preserved things. And so salt has a way of stopping rot. You know, can you remember the day when you were lost? Remember the day when you got saved? You know, when you got saved, you know what happened? There should have been a rot stop. And God began to do something. Now you become a mineral, so to speak. And now you too, just being in the world, you're to have some kind of preserving factor against the rot of this world. So God says, don't be conformed. And salt is not to, so when you put salt into something, it doesn't conform to it, it changes it. That object does not change the salt. The salt changes what it enters into. You know, God's people, somehow, we've got to be in the world but not of the world. No wonder God refers to us as ambassadors. And we're not to hide, we're not to be cowards, we're not to run, or we're not to cow down. We're to enter into this world and be the salt, the preserving factor that God wants us to be. Salt cleanses and disinfects. I tell you, the world needs a lot of cleansing and disinfecting. In this world today. How about an amen there? And just as you were disinfected when you got saved and got the Word of God in you and begin that purifying, preserving factor begin to transform you in your life, that's what we need to take into this world. You know, there was a time in America where Christianity was the consciousness of America. Want me to prove it? Yeah, we want you to prove it. Thank you. I'm going to prove it. Here's how I'm going to prove it. Did you know there's a big argument in praying in Jesus' name? How many ever heard of that going on? Now, they don't want you to do that in school. They don't want you to pray in school. They don't want you to pray in Jesus' name in school. They don't want you to pray in the government. They don't want you to pray in the military like that. They don't want you to pray in Washington like that. They don't want you to pray in colleges like that. Somebody's told me this. I've heard this. I thought it was pretty good. This guy wanted to say something about his Lord, and they said, you can't say anything. He was like valedictorian, and he was going to have the closing announcements, and they said, no, you can't mention God. And so at the very end, he sneezed, and they had it all set, and all the college graduates said, God bless you. And but you know, they say you're not allowed. But you know, why is there an attack against that? Have you ever thought about it? I'll tell you why. Because at one time, all those places prayed in Jesus' name. Why? Because America, Christianity was the conscience of America. See, Washington knew about the Lord. That's why we have In God We Trust. Schools know about it because they started in the church. The Bible and the preacher. You go back and read all through history, and you're going to see a history that's focused around the things of God. In our school system, until we separated it. Military. You know, the chaplains used to be all voluntary. They just entered in. They weren't even paid. They had to come up with them their own way to go in there. But they had chaplains. Why? Because the military wanted chaplains. They wanted the gospel in the military. And now they argue. All those places, Washington, they always opened with prayer. And so, you know, it's interesting. All these places are under attack. How did it ever get there in the first place? Because that was the consciousness of America. We want laws today without Christ, without God. Think about all the laws that we've had that we're founded on. They're all centered around the things of God. Matter of fact, our nation's morals based on the Ten Commandments. And when you eliminate it, look what we're trading it for. We don't even know what we're trading it for. We have no standard of what we're trading for. I can say it in one word, rot. We're trading something very sacred for rot in our country. And we're getting, what we're sowing is what we're getting, rot. There was a gentleman by the name of Victor Castle. Victor Castle was a Mexican that came to America. Legally, came to America, And he got saved in America. By the way, that's what we used to do. We used to evangelize people coming into our country. Now they start their own churches and they kind of, you know, go from there. Where we used to bring them in and evangelize them in America. But anyway, he got saved. He's Mexican. And God burdened his heart about going back to Mexico. And we'll make a long story short, what happened? He went back to Mexico and hundreds of Mexicans got saved because he went back into his country. What was he? Salt. Preserving factor. And God says, ye. We are the people. We're the preservers, the salt. The factory is right here. The church is the factory for salt. We're to take this salt into the world. We're the flavor. You know, salt, when you get it in something, you can't get it out. How many of you have ever been, of course, you looking around here, some of you rascals know exactly what I'm talking about here in a second. You ready? Here's what it is. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you dumped the salt and you got the whole thing? Somebody loosened the lid? Let me look around here on these lid looseners. How many have ever picked up a salt shaker and the lid's just about ready to come off? Let me see it. See your hand? Yep. And so, so I don't know if the culprits are sitting around waiting. I mean, what good if you didn't get to see it? But what does it do? What does it do once it's on your food? That much salt is pretty much, you can't get rid of it, can you? But see, that's the idea of salt. The idea of salt is that when it's planted, you can't get rid of it. You know, I can remember when I was just, before I was saved, I remember this guy, this gentleman, and I've shared with you the story of Jim Slayball. But I remember, you know, as I look back through a saved person, what I see is he was planting the Word of God, who God said that his Word in Isaiah 55:11 says that his Word would not come back void. And so that salt, when it enters into your heart and into your soul, you can't get rid of it. And I can remember thinking about verses, though I didn't even know there were verses. That it was implanted in my mind and in my brain, because you can't just eliminate that salt. Are you following me? How many of you felt the same way before you were saved? If you look back through your life, somebody was planting those little seeds, and God said it would not come back void. It changes things that it enters into. And so first of all, we see the character. And the character is us. We're to be the preserving factor. We're the ye in that chapter. But also we see the calling. And look back there with Matthew chapter 5. It says, you are the salt, and this is the calling of what? Matthew 5, verse 13. Earth. See, our calling is to the earth. That's our calling. Who is? It's ye. And our calling, we're to take this salt and we're to take it into the earth. We are the salt factory for this world. So somehow, as I have prayed, I hope that you would make it a matter of prayer. That we would pray that as we think about this year, as we think about our life, whatever life we might have left, that God would help us to get out of the salt shaker. How many of you have been at a restaurant? And I'm more of a pepper man than I am a salt man, but I got to stick with my text. But you know, I a lot of times I take the pepper and I put it, and I can't hardly get it out of the salt shaker. Now I have fellow pepper lovers that they just take the lid off. Maybe that's how it gets off, and they just sprinkle and say, you know, I'm not going to fuss with this thing for an hour, get pepper on there. So they just sprinkle around, put the lid back on. But you can have the same problem with a salt shaker. And so you can't, you know, it's hard to get it out sometimes. Sometimes don't they put rice in there? Try to keep it from, you know, and sometimes the rice just, you know, comes gooey and just clogs the holes and no salt. You shake, but no salt. You know, I think the devil loves to keep the salt in the salt shaker. And so, you know, when we think about the world today, it's more than this four walls of a church or more than your home. It's the world that we need to be concerned about, the earth. How about an amen there? That God would help us to evangelize, to tell other people about Christ. We need to learn to use every avenue we can. Now, we see how sin seems to use every avenue today, does it not? Well, it's everywhere. It's in books, it's in the media, it's in TV, it's just everywhere. It's a newspaper. They use their avenues. They advertise. You know what? We need to make sure that we too are wise in this world, that we're trying to get the preserving factor out there, that we're to put salt on the earth, we're to put salt on the ground. We may not do it, we can't bring forth the crop, but we can put the salt out there. Are you following me? And as we enter into the world, I think there's a danger today. There's two extremes. There's a danger of never getting out of the salt shaker. We just want to keep what we have. We just want to stay where we're at. We don't want to see anything infect it, and taint what we have. But on the other hand, God says, you know what? I want you out of that salt shaker. I want you into the world. It's a scary thing to enter into the world and to be the salt. But somehow we have to be that salt. We have to take that into the world today. I know that, you know, if we're not careful, pretty soon we don't know anybody but saved people. We don't associate. We don't allow our life to reach out to any lost people. And I'm not saying they should be bosom buddies, but I'm saying there's a danger of not getting into the world and salting the world, just as there's a danger, we'll mention before we go here, of the world corrupting the salt. And how does that happen? We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want you to think about getting the Word of God out. Has it ever been really a burden that, God, I want to do something about the rotten world? What can I do? I can be the salt that I need to be. And I can shake it whenever I got an opportunity. It may be on the radio, it may be a TV, it may be friends, it may be family, it may be work acquaintances, it may be passing out a tract, it may be the jails, maybe the hospital, maybe the nursing home, maybe a piece of literature, but I intend and beg and ask God to help me to get out of the salt shaker. And God, that would be a burden for us. We'd be concerned in our life. I pray that God would help us to salt the fields today. Inland missions is started by Hudson Taylor. You know, that thing started back in 1856. That's 100 years before I was born. But he went to China and he got a burden for the Chinese people. And he came back to the United States. This is before people were interested in foreign missions. Matter of fact, even in America, it's hard to believe that Americans, and I still think there's people that believe that black people don't have a soul. They don't get, you know, have you ever heard that? And so, you know, I mean, that's been taught, you know, and just very, very prejudiced in parts of our country. But Hudson Taylor had a burden for the Chinese people. Well, he came back to the United States, his heart was just burdened, and they wouldn't give him much time. And he was at a conference, and they said, I'll tell you what we'll do, we'll give you 5 minutes. 5 minutes, present his burden for the Chinese people. And its people would support missionaries to go there. And so he said, I'm going to tell you his true story. Here's a story he told that changed missions. He told this story, and I'm not going to tell it. I'll tell it almost quote, but I'll put it in my own words. On his back then, he had shipped to come from China back to America. It took you quite a while to come back. But just as they were coming out, he was on this ship. He's coming out. And prior to leaving port, he was talking to a man from Shanghai. And he's witnessing to him. And somewhere, witnessing and talking to him, somewhere he was close to coming to the Lord, but he never opened his heart. They had a great conversation going. But as they're pulling out, something happened to where this man fell overboard. And he fell into some marsh. And Hudson Taylor was yelling for some of the ships, some of the small vessels that were down there, just little boats that were fishing boats. He was yelling down at them, and he was yelling for them to throw out their net and try to get him out of the water and scoop him out of that marsh. No one could see him, but he felt like if they would take those nets and drag those nets, they would catch him in there and get him out and may save his life. So he hollered down, quick, throw your nets out. There's a man that fell overboard. And you know what came back? What came back from those fishing boats was $30. $30. And he said five. And they hollered back, $30. $30. And he said 10. And they hollered back, $30. $30. And he says, I don't have $30, but I'll give you all that I have. All I have on me completely is $14. I'll give you $14. Please throw your net out. The man is dying. Please throw it out. And they threw their net out on a first cast. They brought the man in, but it was too late. The man died. And he left him with that, saying, are we better than those fishermen if we let China go with the means of being able to rescue them? Are we better than those fishermen? We would condemn those fishermen pretty quick to haggle over the value of a man's life when we have the means to be able to save him. And with that began this inland missions. It goes on even to this day. And so I say that because we can't just discharge this job of getting out of the salt shaker. Every person needs to make it a matter of prayer. God, how can I get out of the salt shaker? You know, not everybody gets out the same way. Some goes on corn. Some goes on steak. Amen. Some goes on potatoes. How many like salt on potatoes? You know, salt just goes, we go off a little different. We got something, though. Some way, some means, you can get out of that salt shaker. And you pray about, God, what is it? And ask God to help me. God, it becomes a burden to our soul because we have a need there that God wants us to fulfill this need of getting out and sowing this salt in the world today. And I close with this. Look at verse 13. It says, ye are the salt. Ye is the character. The salt is the earth. This is the calling that God has destined us to. It says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, and to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. I hope I can say this right. You ever have something in your heart you can't put into words? I have it. I have the answer in there, but I don't know if I can just explain it quite. Well, what I see in our world now, I've learned this about salt. Do you know that the only way you can't really corrupt salt? It doesn't lose its taste. That salt keeps its taste. You know how it's corrupted? It's corrupted when you mix it with something that's dirty and filthy. And it's no longer good for anything. If you can hear my heart, you've got that message right there. If you got it, I'll try to explain it. What I see today is I see a lot of things under the auspice of Christianity that are filthy. And that they're really genuine Christians. But they're mixed so much with the filth of the world, they have no savor effect. And so when they open their mouth, like they're a piece of dirt, not a piece of salt. And they're not received as salt. They're tasteless. And I think somebody shared with me something today. They were sharing with me this morning. They're saying, you know, Christianity needs to be seen and witnessed, not just spoken. And some of the problems that we have with our children today is because we talk it, but we don't walk it. And they suffer. Somehow, and I think about this. Let me run just a couple rabbits. I got a few minutes. I'm going to run them anyway. But I think about, and I'm envious of large congregations. I'm envious that a hockey team play, they'll do it for a hockey team at 15 above zero. I wonder how many people would be out there for God if somebody was preaching. I thought, man, there's the God. This is the King and Queen. Entertainment is one of them. And boy, sports is another one, isn't it? And there it is. People will do a lot of things for that. And they're paying huge amount of money for the seats. 105,000 people, I wonder if you could really see. See that guy over across town there? You know, and they're, you know, paying a lot of money for that. Well, I have to think something. I think some service to God is some of the megachurch mentality. Now, I personally, this is your preacher. I walk into a church like that, I'm going to puke. The person I want to do is I want to strangle the pastor for leading his congregation that way. Because when you bring the filth into the auditorium and you're condoning it to get the gospel out, you're conforming to the world to try to get good out of it. So what you're doing is you're dirtying up the salt. Now you follow me, you get in my gut a little bit. One person said, you know, that all they remembered in the whole service was the preacher said guts. They didn't remember anything else about the service. That's how some people, they miss the whole thing. But I'll tell you, I see what we're doing in our world today. I can see it. We're not only doing it in the world itself is just about brainless. I tell you, they're all on pot. That's just a euphemism. Look that up on what that is. Make sure what that is. Sure sounds intelligent though, doesn't it? And but you know, it just helps. It draws a picture of what the brainless things that we're okaying in the world think, where it's coming from. But I have to think about some of those brainless things we're doing, and we're writing the name of God on it today and sowing that seed. I'll tell you, the day will come and you're going to have pothead preachers. You're going to have, and we have them, that if it was harmful for you, God wouldn't have made it. I tell them, when's the last time you went out and smoked some poison ivy? God made that too. You know, and it, by the way, for what it's worth, it came as a result of the fall. And just by one little rabbit, that's why I believe Noah, by the way, I think he got drunk after the ark, but you don't hear he got drunk and drunk and drunk and drunk, do you? I think because fermentation after the fall. That's a little snowology. I don't have any way to prove that. I believe Noah was a godly man. And he was a preacher of righteousness. So I don't think that was just... I think it was... Anyway, that's enough said. Tainted. I think when we taint it enough, pretty soon we don't have the preserving factor. I ask you, does the devil know that? He knows how to dirty up the preserving factor. And it encourages the rot rather than the preservation. The challenge, though, is God commissioned us to the earth, the call us to the earth. How do we get in the world and get people without, you know, we want to keep them in the salt shaker because of all the corruption in the world, but somehow you have to rear up that the salt can get out in the world without getting the filth of the world on them. That's a task. And I can't say we haven't seen statistics of people who have messed around with the filth in the world and it overcame them. And I dare say everyone in here knows of somebody that played with the world, was a Christian, played with the world, and they ended up just like the world. The world got them. I don't know, but I know that Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners, but he never did what the sinner would do. He was a preserving factor. And somehow, I'm going to leave him as he is my supreme example. And so, I believe that our desire is to help with the rot, then somehow we have to stay out of the filth, but still reach into the miry pit to bring an old sinner out. I got to say, in my own life, somebody did that with me. They reached down. They weren't in the pit, but they reached down to the pit. And they desired to lift me up out of the miry pit. They did not get down in there and play in the pit, the mud with me. And say, I want to tell you of a better life, a better place, while being in the mire. You know what the mire is? You know what the mire is, don't you? It's worse. Yep, that's what it is. You don't have to get down in there. Are you following me? God wants to lift us out of that. But somehow we have to be reaching. We have to be that salt, that factor to bring them out. May God help us. Just a challenge that it would become a burden for us. Say, God, help me to be the salt. It's my job. It's my calling to take the gospel into this world. And that we'd make it a sincere prayer that God would help us to be that preserving factor in this world, which means we got to be in the world to be that preserving factor. We got to affect people. Boy, if one of you had run for Congress, we'd vote for you. We need some preserving factors in Congress that wouldn't sell out, don't we? We need some logic, moral stability. It used to be our forefathers, they were involved in that. That's how we got all these laws that are any sane law was from them. And so may God help us. We've got a big task ahead of us. We see the decay taking over in all areas. I pray that God would help us to stop the rot that's in this world. We are the salt tank, the church of the living God. There is no other tank. May God help us to be and do what we need to do. Stand with me, please.